If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love for the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, I'm just so excited. We're going to be doing a seminar in which we will be exploring the major keys to manifesting in this new dimensional energy that we've just entered. And I think you're going to find a great deal of clarity as we explore together the topic this evening. So the name of our seminar is Hosting Your Holiness. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward multidimensionally. Integrate your monadic I am that I am presence. Link and integrate with your soul awareness. Link and integrate with your higher mind. Link and integrate with your lower mind. Link and integrate with your causal body. Link and integrate with your emotional body. Link and integrate with your etheric physical vehicle. Take a deep breath. And infuse every single cell and subatomic particle of your physical body with your wholeness, your holiness. Feel it tingling. And if you will, expand your arms and just say, I am open and receive the wholeness of my holiness now into every part of my consciousness according to my highest right and highest good. And so be it. And just allow the releasing of all the energies that you've outgrown that are no longer serving you. Take a deep breath and simply dissolve them in the light of your wholeness. Ready? Deep breath. And they vanish. You don't need to do anything but shine the light of your awareness and your holiness displaces everything that is lacking. I would like to point out that holiness and wholeness are one and the same. Begin to reframe that understanding in your mind, that to be holy is to be whole. It's your restoration to truth. Holiness and wholeness, and the Hebrew word shalom, the Sanskrit word prashanti, and the Christian word salvation, all mean one and the same thing. They're the return of your awareness to original wholeness and holiness. So you are outgrowing an entire paradigm as we move into the deeper, deeper cosmic energies of this new cycle. And if an energetic does not serve you, then it is not serving anyone or anything. Because everything that you are communicates to the all that is, always. You are an intrinsic part of all that exists. It's within you, and you are within it. And we co-share this energy field. And what we are learning as we enter into this new paradigm is that we instantly manifest whatever energy we are hosting. Energy equals manifestation. In time, there is a sequence and a process of unfoldment. But in the fifth dimension, it is instantaneous. Instantaneous. In fact, in the fourth dimension, it is also. So the fact is, we are living within a universal consciousness that is creatively responsive. It is creative intelligence itself. Call it Source, God, Universal Mind, Spirit, or Matilda. It doesn't matter. This energy responds to us personally. It is aware of the sum of its collective parts, and it's aware of each individual within that collective on a personal level. And that simply means that you exist in the universal whole of all that is, and you are a unique expression of that as you. Moreover, that creative consciousness that is all that is responds to you and your energy on a very personally specific level. The amazing truth is the divine source is both absolute and transcendental, beyond creation, and at the same time immanent and indwelling you as its unique incarnation. Isn't that amazing? So let's go a bit deeper and take another deep breath and just intend your energy to be centered, peaceful, and loving. It's not necessary to mood make. Just set peace and love as your intention. And voila, there it is. It's simply the truth of your holiness and your wholeness that you're calling forward into your awareness. That, beloved, is the fact of you, the truth of you. When you are hosting your holiness, you are peace and love itself. You know, those words in English kind of fall short of the real meaning. The word shanti in Sanskrit, or shalom in Hebrew, means the totality and fullness of your wholeness, your divine, originally intended state, your pre-fallen divine state. And love, which would be prema in Sanskrit and ahuva in Hebrew and agape in Greek, means that transcendental, impersonal, all-embracing, unconditional, divine love, which is your own holiness manifesting. So as peace and love, the entirety of the universal energy worships and adores you. It obeys your slightest directive and preference and instantly rearranges circumstances to accommodate your highest good. Wow. That, beloved, is the greatest secret. That when you host your holiness, all of creation rushes to serve and accommodate you. You have favor wherever you are. You're the blessed one. And as you walk this divine path of light and love and sound of the beloved, you will find that all things in this world are handled through grace. You move through your environment in the love and grace of God. You live above the world of karma, in the lofty sphere of righteousness, or dharma, which is the natural behavior of your own divine spirit. So your holiness is your divine wholeness. They are one and the same. And your wholeness, your holiness, simply is, by its very nature, peaceful and loving. That is your natural state of being. And when you're not experiencing peace and love, you're actually in a false self. You know, within the human levels of expression, the human being can host the full multidimensional and transcendental spectrum. Man has that potential as part of his divinely designed software. The human being can vibrate at any wavelength of energy and move to the very depths of the false ego self and the very heights of the most divine, transcendental, God-realized states. In fact, let's look at the different states of consciousness that people find themselves parked in, their assemblage point, that place where they hang out habitually in their state of consciousness is what we're looking at here. You'll probably be able to identify with all of them because we're not static. We do have a randomity of our expression. Our mind can move in and out of different thought wavelengths and patterns, belief systems, and modulations, which can be affected by any number of things in our environment that we partake of energetically and come into an affinity with. In fact, your own wholeness and holiness forms a great protective ring pass knot around you at some point, so that your light wave frequencies themselves become the protection and the perfect security and safety in which you live and walk. And that state is totally vulnerable in the sense that it has no need for any form of protective device. It doesn't have to ward off anyone or anything because it's become part and accepted as the unified whole. And again, it is worshipped and adored as the Divine One, as the Beloved. So here are some of the states that the human being often identifies with. In the purely human state, the human being identifies with human weakness and limitation. Here you often hear people say, well, I'm only human. What a dreary statement of negation about your reality. That's total illusion. And then you have the emotional state that many people identify with. And that's whatever feels good. So they tend to indulge in what gives pleasure on a personal level. And they form attachments and bondage to those things and try to hold them constant in place. And, of course, that leads to all the emotional drama and heartache and heartbreak and all that stuff. And then you have the mental. And that's the person that identifies with what needs to be understood in order to be accepted. It must be rationally proven. Good luck. Have you noticed how your mind changes like the wind? And then you have the psychic levels. This is where people are starting to awaken a little bit, and they're becoming sensitive to other dimensions of life and existence. But in that state, the human being identifies very much with outer forces, forces of good and evil, positive and negative, that one needs to combat or control and manipulate, again, to personal advantage. So in all of those states, you have duality and polarity, good and evil, positive and negative. And that pretty well defines the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that the divine human fell into when he fell into and became overly identified with these lower vibrational densities in these bipolar universes. Bipolar meaning under the laws of polarity and duality. So you have the human, the psychic, the emotional and the mental. And then you have two higher levels that pertain to your wholeness and your holiness. You have the level of soul awareness, Christ consciousness, or self-realization. All of those terms would apply. When you awaken to yourself as beyond your physical body, beyond your emotions, beyond your thoughts, beyond your psychic force fields, and you move into those rarefied levels where you realize that you are the very light of consciousness and awareness itself. And then as you progress in that, you move into true, genuine holiness, where you become God-realized, or you become integrated with your monad, which is also called the I Am Presence. So those are stages and degrees of integration that takes place, which is reflected in a whole way you see life, and you identify self. And again, we move in and out of those states all the time because we're always in all of them all the time. And it's just a movement of the inner spiritual awareness that places you in any one particular definitive. And you can shift out of it. However, the average human being will be very much locked in the human ego state of human weakness and limitation until they become an aspirant to the higher spiritual life. And so they'll be that neophyte until they learn how to move into the discipline required to move into soul awareness and to become self-realized and realize their wholeness. And then as they become progressively initiated in moving into deeper levels of this revelation of truth, they move into what's called the God realms of monadic integration, God realization. And then you move into the realms of the oversouls, which are great, great collectives of divine intention and divine consciousness. It's a vast and beautiful unfoldment, which is only unfolding in time and space because out of time and space, it's already been completed. So within the human levels, we are dancing selectively in the grid fields of different perspectives. I've often referred to soul travel as changing your point of view. So if you think of our progressions as changing your point of view, it gives you freedom to move without restriction because you can at any point course correct, vibrationally edit and modify your expression, fine-tune, and refine that frequency upon which you're transmitting your sense of self. So as part of this paradigm shift currently taking place, you have been uploaded with new software. And it's a new software programming that is online and operative right now. And these seminars each week are part of your training in how to access and move into these new programs. So following our computer analogy here, a simple mouse click of your intention to host your holiness opens your celestial homepage. Let's do that again. A simple mouse click of your intention to host your holiness opens your celestial homepage. And then you have all of those pull downs and drop downs that you can click on. So you can tell when you are running your higher programming because you are hosting inner peace and centered loving. In fact, you are reveling and delighting in your wholeness. I often say I'm having a party in my heart. You're just feasting at the banquet of your own deliciousness. You just resonate such a yumminess, you can hardly stand it. You just love to be with yourself so much. You totally fall in love with your own essence. You know, the story in India is that the musk deer goes absolutely insane at rutting season because it's trying to find the source of that captivating scent. But the scent is emanating from the musk deer himself. So we are like musk deer, you know, panting and running here and there, trying to find the source of this deliciousness, and all the time it's emanating from our own inner essence. So, yep, that's it. You're centered in loving peace and wholeness when you are partaking of that delicious essence of the self that you are. And, you know, wow, it's just peace and loving and wholeness. Yeah, just peace, loving, and wholeness. And that doesn't make you a boring Johnny One Note, because all positive, true expressions, divinely speaking, operate from your wholeness. They emanate from your peace. They emanate from your loving, which are unlimited, universal, multiversal, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient in scope and possibility. This is something that we are learning, is that who we are becomes active in spirit. What we are is what creates in spirit. Not what we say, not what we feel, not what we think, not what we psychically postulate or try to manipulate. It's who and what we are that communicates. And at the moment it communicates, it creates without any time lag. So you see, when that peace and loving wholeness, it's what you're radiating as your energy signature. Everything else is drawn into your orbit automatically. Everything that is necessary to manifest your divine intention is drawn towards you. In fact, in spirit, it's instantaneous. So I'm using this drawn towards you, because you'll notice that while we're still operating under the limitation of time and space and the belief systems that involve time and space here in the third dimensional enchilada, we will have a sense of things being drawn to us. We call it synchronicity. We call it symbiotic harmonization and attraction. We call it the secret, the law of attraction. We call it many things, But time, as it begins to collapse and atrophy and shrink, and the sense of time begins to dissolve into present moment, present focus, present moment, present manifestation, we'll notice less and less of a time between our intention and the manifestation. Sai Baba told us one time that God is intention. Again, the English word doesn't quite capture the essence. In Sanskrit, the term is sankalpa, which means divine resolve. And that is another term for the will of God, the sovereign will of God, or for the whole spirit, a Holy Spirit of God, which is the creative manifesting word. So you're learning how to operate within a higher level of consciousness now. And within this new level, you manifest whatever you are energetically hosting, and thus embodying. When you host something, it means you have welcomed it into your space and you are holding court for its benefit. You are making room for it. You're housing it. You're tabernacling it. In other words, you're in it, it's in you, and it's part of your operative environment. So in this new paradigm, you become the energy of whatever you intend to manifest or to precipitate into form on some level. Every movement of consciousness on the higher planes always precipitates into form on some level. It does even in the human level. It just precipitates in the astral or causal or mental realms where most people are unconscious and they can't see their creations. So when you go to sleep at night and you go into the astral body and you see the phantasmagoria that you call dreams, that's part of the things that you've created and precipitated into form. You only meet yourself wherever you are on the inner realms or the outer realms. You're only meeting your own creations. I like to call them the children of your consciousness. So you're always creative, and you're always precipitating into some form of manifestation on some level. On the inner planes of the higher realms, you travel by intention. Remember the scene in Ghost where the man was learning, you know, after he died, to move his intention, and then he found himself traveling. Instead of walking or flying, he had to set his intention, and then he would be wherever he intended to be. Remember how he tried to send that penny to his girlfriend on the other side to manifest his presence in some form? That was a very good movie because it really showed what it's like to try to create from the astral body. Of course, he was in a very low level. He was more or less earthbound in the lowest astral planes closest to the physical earth for quite a while because he was so attached to his girlfriend. But remember at one point when he came in that body of light to say goodbye to her, and then we saw him moving into the light, into a higher dimension. I love that movie. That was a beautiful movie, Ghost. Demi Moore, and forget the actor's name. But anyway, as we move into these higher dimensions now, we're bypassing our earlier tools and techniques. These would include affirmations, guided meditations and imagery, mental techniques, physical exercises, metaphysical approaches like positive thinking. All of these are part of the mental, emotional, and psychic approaches that you are now going to find don't work so well where you're going. In fact, they will keep you in the becoming methodology and prevent you from experiencing and truly hosting your wholeness and your holiness. So let the baby things go. They're part of your infancy, spiritual infancy. And let's get ready to go deeper. So in this level in which you're moving into, no thinking is used at all. Thinking is not creative. Thinking, in fact, is the ego trying to fool you into believing that you, by yourself, of your own ego levels, can have any kind of transformative effect or power. That's very disappointing, but, you know, you don't have power in those levels. So you learn to move to the level above thinking. And I've often given you the example, those of you that have been in an airplane, where you as you ascend in altitude, you go above the clouds. And the clouds represent your conditioned thoughts. Those pictures of reality that have defined your inner atmosphere and vista. Let's say there's storms and lightning and, you know, the plane is dropping and pitching and rolling a little bit. But as soon as you transcend that level, you go into the clear, blue, brilliant, illumined, sunlit atmosphere. It's clear. And that's exactly what you do when you transcend conditioned thoughts. When you meditate or you do your spiritual exercise, you chant your mantra or your tone or the hue or the anti-hue or the om, whatever divine mantra you use, until you notice that all of a sudden, rarely it takes longer than 15 minutes, and the more practiced, the sooner it happens, you'll find you transcend into that clear place where there's really no thought. And generally, you need to really focus on the sound of the mantra or the inner sound current or the light which appears in your third eye, or the radiant form of the inner master that appears for some, or the star, sometimes there's a blue star that appears, and you use that to focus your awareness, and it draws you multidimensionally into different states of awareness and revelation. You travel in your spirit. You don't externalize like astral projection. Not a psychic thing. It's a movement of your spiritual inner awareness. So that's how you transcend that conditioned field of thoughts that, you know, many people try to control them. You might as well try to herd cats as to control your thoughts. There is a level of your mind that's designed to generate thoughts. And you just ignore it. You don't pay any attention to that. You just keep focused on chanting your mantra and writing the sound and the light of God into that higher state that transcends. That's why it's called soul transcendence. You transcend in the soul body beyond the lower levels. Now you're operating in the higher realms that we call self-realization. So, you create automatically and spontaneously by the intention of your heart. Your heart, your core essence, is your intention. And that's what creates automatically, spontaneously, without thought, mood making, projection, manipulation, none of it. It's automatic. Your heart is your life. Your heart is your intention. And I'm not speaking of your emotional, sentimental heart beating in a cage of flesh and bone. I'm speaking of your spiritual core essence. That's your heart with a capital H, your spiritual heart. And when you're expressing from that, and from that wholeness, you will be experiencing peace and loving. For all of these things manifest as one. And that gives the evidence to you that you are hosting your holiness. Beautiful, isn't it? Another way to consider this is to realize that any feeling or thought of lack is hosting an illusion. Wow, that's a new definition. Yes, you're hosting an illusion. When you're courting or promoting or radiating or perpetrating any feeling or any thought of lack. Or to be more blunt, you're hosting a lie. You're in the false self. Now, you go in and out of this until you get more practiced. So never, never, never condemn or blame yourself. Every success is built on a foundation of innumerable errors which show you what doesn't work and point to you in the direction of what will work for you. So there's got to be errors. There's got to be where you step off the path and you make mistakes and you do all these blunders and you forget and you lose track and all of that. It's all part of the game. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. But just notice that when you stepped out of your love and your peace and you're courting some mood making of lack and limitation and whatever, just choose to be aware. Just choose to be aware. Oh, I'm hosting this false self here. Okay. And just know that when you're not experiencing inner peace and loving, or when you're upset or angry or worried or agitated or stressed over anything, no matter what it is, you are hosting a false spirit, a lying spirit, not the Holy Spirit. So learn to discern the spirits that you're hosting. Spirits meaning attitudes. And just stop and remind yourself that your intention is to embody and host your wholeness. Your intention is to embody and host your loving and your peace and your holiness. You know, just the reminding is the returning. The minute you remind yourself, you return yourself. How simple that is. So you could say to yourself, for example, this feeling or thought of lack, worry, fear is not real. You don't have to do anything with something that's not real, but recognize that it's not real. It's not what you want. And to realize that you could make another choice here if you want to. And, you know, nobody's got a gun at your head. You don't have to. You don't have to do any of this stuff. It'll do you if you just keep breathing in and breathing out, because that's what God is doing through all of us. So whether you remember a word of any of this stuff or do any of it, it doesn't matter. It's already been done out of time. God doesn't get lost. God doesn't get worried about its many incarnations, because it realizes that everything is eternally one within the love and the heart of God. In highest truth, we've never, ever left the heart of God. So the only thing that has departed is our conscious awareness. And we can always choose again. So take a deep breath and quietly reestablish your awareness in your wholeness. You are whole. You are holy. You are forever one with your Creator. and in your sense of wholeness and holiness, your peace and your loving flow to yourself and to all things. And the only shift that you ever have to make is in your awareness. So you are initially retraining your feelings and thoughts to vibrate in harmony with your holiness. And whenever you find yourself returning to old energy expressions and patterns, just quietly return your awareness to your wholeness and your holiness. So here's a good visual image for you. You know how carefully you walk when you're carrying a brimming full cup of hot coffee or tea? Well, host the Holy Spirit with just as much care and attention and focus. Notice when you're carrying that brimming full hot cup of whatever, how your intention is completely upon safeguarding the contents of that cup. You know, you're just so intent that you're not going to spill it, you're not going to trip, you're not going to drip it on your rug or your floor. Just like that, host, carefully host the Holy Spirit of your own truth. You, my beloveds, are a brimming cup of divine nectar, of immortality and eternal love. That's what you are. You're a brimming cup of divine nectar, of living water, of the very nectar of heaven. Here to give a draught of that to the parched souls and throats of this planet, of these people. So safeguard the Holy of Holies that resides within your human tabernacle. Remind yourself frequently of how holy you are to be given the function of hosting the divine spirit of God itself. You're hosting the divine spirit of the creator of everything. You, as the human, no one else was given that function in all of creation, but the human. There's a beautiful lesson in the Course in Miracles that you say, my holiness blesses everything I see. Your holiness blesses me, Holy Son of God. And my holiness blesses you. And you say that to everyone that comes to you silently. You know, your holiness blesses me, Holy Son of God. And when you look at the news and you look at things happening in the world, say, my holiness blesses you. My holiness bestows the grace of heaven into this situation. My holiness dissolves this appearance into eternal love. My holiness is sufficient to transform all things to the Lord that dwells within me. So your holiness blesses the entire creation, and your holiness blesses your Creator. What a thought is that? So say it with me if you wish. My holiness blesses all of creation. My holiness blesses you, my God. So hosting your holiness, your wholeness, as peace and love, is your new way to manifest all things from now on. Whether it's your rent, or your food, or favor to move into positions where you can creatively express your gifts, or whatever the situation, your holiness and the grace of your holiness is enough to rearrange everything according to divine order. You see how you're learning to live at a whole different level of life and creativity. And excuse me, this may seem too all-inclusive and simple to be believed, but that is just another lie trying to distract you. Recognize that all doubt regarding your wholeness and your holiness is part of the original lie, part of that original lie which led to the fall into this illusory realm, this false creation of pain and lack and death and disease. So cease hosting lies and deceit and falsehood about your identity and nature, and host the spirit of truth, which will always remind you that you live in Christ, and Christ lives in you, and that is your hope and your glory, and that you are as God created you. You remain eternally as God created you, in perfect original holiness and peace. So you could say that with me if you like. I am as God created me. I am as God created me. Take a deep breath, close your eyes, and own that. And with every return of your awareness to the truth of your wholeness, your holiness, the more you will experience a deepening of your inner joy, your inner peace, and the loving towards yourself and everyone. This is where your sense of well-being spills out as universal goodwill and loving towards everyone. It releases and frees you to be that loving presence. You know, people who are whole make no demands. And that's why they experience such peace. They actually become magnetic distribution centers for goodness and abundance. For wholeness attracts such abundance and such support that there's always plenty to distribute and share with others. And this is the greatest secret to abundance, you know, ever. Your holiness communicates as that which the universe is divinely mandated to provide for. Wow. The universe is divinely mandated to provide for the whole and the holy ones. Remember the prophet Elijah when he was fleeing from the wicked Jezebel, and he went to the river Cherith and he hid in a cave nearby, and the ravens came and fed him bread and meat twice a day, and he drank from the river Cherith. And then one day he was told to go and ask for food from a very, very poor widow in a time of tremendous, dreadful famine in the land of Israel. And she had enough meal and oil to make one small cake that she would share with her son, and then she planned to die. And so God told Elijah the prophet to go to this widow and ask for food. And so she said, "But I have just enough to make one small cake for my son and I, and then we are going to die." But Elijah said, But first, make me the cake. And so she obeyed him, and she made him the cake. And she invited him to stay under her roof. And he said, "What do you have in your house?" And she said, "I have nothing. I have only a small cruse of oil." And he said, "Go and borrow as many receptacles as you can throughout the town and bring them here." And so she went and she borrowed every receptacle she could find in the town and brought them and put them where the prophet was in her little house. And suddenly they were filled with oil. And he told her to go forth and sell the oil and buy food. And the prophet Elijah dwelt with her for an entire year. Her oil never, never, never ran out. Her meal sack never, never, never was emptied. She had abundant food, not only for herself, but the whole village and for the prophet. And one day, her son fell ill and suddenly died. And she became angry and she said, "What have you come to curse my house and bring death to my son?" And the prophet said, "Come, bring your son and lay him across my bed." And she did that. And the prophet laid upon the son three times with the anointing and the power of his body. And the son was resurrected back to life. So the analogy here is that you take the little anointing, the little holiness that you think you have, and you offer whatever it is to the Lord. And as you do, he increases whatever you have to not only sufficiency for yourself, but ever-flowing, pressed down and running over abundance that then begins to feed and nurture and minister to others. So that even when the appearance of death seems to cast its illusory shadow into your household, the benefaction of the Lord will cover and resurrect the dead things in your life to new life. So that every appearance of lack and limitation and death and disease and sorrow is covered by the all-sufficient grace of God. It's how you live from this wholeness. Now, Jesus said a very enigmatic thing. He said, "To those that have, more shall be given. But to those that lack, even the little that they have will be taken." So it is to say that when you're living from abundance, you attract abundance because that's your energetic intention signature into the universe, which is mandated to provide for you when you're operating out of the vibrational signature of wholeness. But to those who vibrate the energetic signature of lack, even the little they have, they lose. Haven't you noticed that when people are in fear and lack and limitation, that's when the car breaks down. And then a whole litany of things comes to erode the little that they have until they're totally destitute. Why? Because that's the energetic signature that they're presenting into the universe, which simply mirrors back to them the energy that they are putting out. So poverty and a sense of lack is a spiritual malady that can only be addressed and healed by returning your mind and your thoughts, your belief and your energy to your wholeness, to God's grace, and to your holiness. So, when you host your holiness and your holiness radiate these energies of peace and love and abundance, and you come under the new covenant of grace. And this is what Jesus was referring to when he told the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." And Paul represents every single one of us who have been called by the Lord to follow him and to be his messengers. and his kingdom ambassadors. So again, let's check. What energy are you hosting now? Have you noticed that right now you are feeling a greater awareness of your divine wholeness and holiness? That is because that is the intention set for this seminar. Your wholeness and the holiness of your true divine self. When all of the ego's patterns are dissolved in the light of awareness, is all that remains. So your awareness is like shining a light into a darkened room. And what was before hidden is now revealed. The dark room is your human state of limitation and weakness, your ego, your false self. But when you shine upon that level of consciousness, the light of your divine wholeness and awareness, that which was dark in you, that which was of the false self, simply vanishes. And with the false self, all sense of lack and unworthiness vanish in the light of your holiness. And all you need to do is be yourself, your radiant, loving heart. It's the very light in which all things are made new. And you see the face of God. So take another deep breath and offer the chalice of your life, the holy grail of your consciousness, and allow it to be filled with the blood of Christ, the golden crystalline, systematic encodements of your holy completion, wrought within the timeless realms of the God realms, of infinite, ever-unfolding worlds within worlds within worlds, in which you co-create with the Holy of Holies. Not only in this dimension, which we seem to be outgrowing, but in the dimension and the universe into which we are now overlapping, just like a vesica Pisces of the two interlocked spheres. We are penetrating that place where they overlap in the divine eye of God. And that becomes the dimensional aperture into the new worlds that we are being beckoned to enter with the innocence and purity of a child. Confident and trusting that all things are benign and loving where we are going. For the one we follow is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, before whom every tongue will proclaim Lord, and every knee will bow. So what have we to fear when we walk with the Beloved? And the Beloved walks with us, and we are in Christ, and we are hidden in God, in the most secret place of the Most High. Let's go out chanting on I Heal. Deep breath.
On I Heal. On I Heal.
we pray a baptism of pure divine holy love to fill, surround, and infuse every man, woman, and child on this entire planet, in this solar system, in this universe. May all feel a touch of God's love. That is our intention. And that is the prayer of our heart, that all may return to original wholeness and holiness within the heart of God. Adonai, beloveds. Adonai.